Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Denise, happy Halloween.
Hey, happy Halloween,
this
Norma.
This is my favorite holiday of the entire year.
Oh, wonderful.
I love to make my house scary on Halloween.
Oh, such a nice person like you.
I am. I know. I do like zombies and witches and skeletons and little children are scared when they come to my house. But, you know, how are they going to learn, right?
Exactly. I'm with you on
that.
They
still get good candy. I get the good stuff. I get the good stuff. So they're rewarded for their terror.
Nice.
So I'm looking forward to trick-or-treating.
All right.
Well, let's talk about some pumpkins again. We didn't get a chance to talk a whole lot about pumpkins during last week's show. But I think right now everybody's got pumpkins on the brain because it's Halloween and it's fall. And so we're thinking about pumpkin pie and pumpkin decorations. And I know I see a lot of those. You know, we were talking last week about those little pumpkins that are, you know, sort of bought in bulk. They're like little acorn squash or little mini pumpkins. You don't eat those, do you?
No. Those are all decorations.
Okay.
So definitely there's a lot of different gourds out there, like a little crook neck gourds that you can find with really bumpy textures that are kind of creepy and, you know, they may be nice to look at and interesting, but they're kind of weird. So use them accordingly for whatever decor that you choose. But yeah, the pumpkins have been out on the grocery shelves for a long time now. And if you had any of them sitting on your table or in your decorations around your house, you're going to start to see them starting to get a little cloudy and have like a little chalky residue on them. They kind of get dull after a while. And that's just because, you know, just like everything else, it has a post-harvest or a shelf life that it's kind of maxing out. So you definitely want to make sure that you continue to keep those guys in a really cool location out of direct sun. There's a lot of great outdoor activities for family and friends, and a lot of them involve a small little pumpkin patch where people, you know, can buy their own pumpkin. And when you do, you want to make sure that you're looking for one that still has a nice firm texture on there. And, you know, don't carry it by the handle, by the top, by the stem. Be careful with that. But that's also an indicator of how old the pumpkin is or it's been really, you know, heat stressed since it's been plucked off the patch. I don't worry too much about, you know, buying big pumpkins as far as their odd shapes, if you will. Just use that to do your decorations later on today and see what kind of character comes out of that as you're carving. But you definitely want to make sure that you can prolong it. You know, it's just the start of fall and Halloween is just the start for that. We still have Thanksgiving coming up here and 4 more weeks, it looks like. So there's really a way for you to be able to extend that life of your pumpkins and that investment and carry them throughout the season. I like to decorate our pumpkins first with stickers and something that's not very invasive to the outer shell of the pumpkin itself. And then as time goes by, then we start kind of cutting into that and are using them as containers. You have get-togethers also. You know, sometimes you have a lot of fresh flowers, a lot of autumn colors that you can buy some cut flower bouquets and bring them in for your holiday parties, and you can definitely use pumpkins of all sizes to be a vase or an outside potted plant as well. You talked about last week about putting a chrysanthemum pot that you can buy and, you know, cut open the top of the pumpkin and then slip in that mum pot on there so it looks like an outer pumpkin shell as well. But you can also use it as a vase. You have the cut flowers in there or even a candle holder. If you have an appropriate little saw, you kind of get those little small pumpkins and, you know, make a little hole and put a candle in there. And so some nice little ways to be able to start bringing the outdoors inside.
And you're talking about chrysanthemums, and we should probably talk about that because they're sold usually right around this time. And I'm not sure if people sort of toss those out after they start looking a little stressed out, you know, how like people do with poinsettias at Christmas time where, you know, once they've outlived their colorfulness, they toss them out. But I've had chrysanthemums. Well, I don't anymore. They finally died. But the chrysanthemums that I had, they lasted probably a good 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. And you know what? They sell them in these really nice 1 gallon pots and they're full of blooms. I mean, and then there's like a lot of little tight buds on there. Those will continue to bloom throughout the entire season. And then I think people kind of like move on to something else. Well, don't move on and don't toss them away. You know, you don't want to put those in the trash or the compost pile. Just dig up a little area that if you have some space in your flower beds outside and, you know, plant them in the ground. They won't do much because they are, chrysanthemums are dependent on the day length to be able to bloom. So they'll probably just kind of sit there dormant for a while. Just, give them an extra season, and they'll be surprising you the following year when those conditions are right and give you some blooms in the ground, not just in a potted plant.
Yeah, and I kept mine on the patio for many years, and it seemed to work really great. And again, when the fall season comes around, that's about the only thing giving me color in my potted plants.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And definitely with our cooler season coming in, start thinking about those tender plants that you all have in your patios, the ones that need to be able to be brought in. You don't want to bring anything that's infested with any kind of pests or any bugs. So really clean up your plants. Scout for insects. Look under the leaves. That's where a lot of insects like to live. If you have issues with fungus gnats, those little brown, blackish little flies that kind of hover at the soil surface, that means that you've been giving your plant a little too much water. Really pull back on the water, and those flies, fungus gnats will go away. You don't want to bring them in and they just become a pest inside your house. They're not going to hurt you, but they just seem annoying when they're flying around. Also think about where you're going to bring them into once you bring them into your house or into your garage or your greenhouse or whatever conditions you have for them, because your plants are going to need some light. So make sure that you give them adequate light and not stress them out even further. Sometimes, you know, we're not even there yet, but when we start cranking on our furnaces as well, a lot of those tropical plants will start responding to the decrease of humidity inside, and they'll drop a lot of leaves. So think about those kind of things as you're transitioning into the fall. I have a lot of great plants that are outside right now, and they're wonderful. They don't need a lot of care for, but, you know, I have a great Sansevieria plant, the mother-in-law's tongue, gray color one. Mm-hmm. I don't like the variegated ones, but I like the deep gray ones, and I've ignored it all year long, but I said, you know, it gets a little cold, and all of a sudden it's going to freeze, and it's going to flop over, so I need to make sure I make my appropriate accommodations for it.
Well, also we need to think about, you know, the plants that maybe you can't bring inside the house that perhaps you can, you know, bring them when the weather's going to get really, really cold, to bring them up maybe towards the house, maybe away from where they're going to be exposed to the cold weather. Usually what we do is we bring the plants up against the house where it's a little bit more protected. And of course, we give them some covering as well. So we use like a, you know, some old towels or some sheets. But we want to stay, if we're going to be protecting our plants, we want to stay away from any sort of plastic, right?
Right, exactly. So like anything else, you want to make sure that you have that air exchange and that air to be able to flow in and out of your protected covering. Very thin sheets that don't weigh very heavy will be great to be able to cover your plants. But yes, your like plastic bags or plastic tarps, you want to stay away from those, because essentially what you're going to do is, by not having that gas exchange and that temperature is going to really build up inside of that little chamber that you've created, there's no way for that heat to escape. In smaller areas, we put the plastic bags to make a little mini greenhouse. So make sure you pluck some little holes in that so you can allow for that temperatures to go away. So sheets, you can also buy some frost blankets at local garden centers as well that protect the plants up against the house, away from the real windy areas in your yard, sometimes under a tree all huddled together, also is a really great way to be able to protect your plants. And if you're looking at some kind of greenhouse or greenhouse structure, you don't have to spend a lot of money for that. You can certainly get, you know, some nice either PVC or some metal pipes to be able to bend it into a greenhouse shape. And you can certainly use that with, you know, those are going to have a plastic covering. But always during the day, unzip that. Open that little door, that little draft door, so that you can allow that hot air to escape.
Well, we also can't stress enough, this is the perfect time to be planting trees and shrubs. So we say this so often that fall is a time for planting, but this is really a terrific time if you can find some at the local nurseries or the local big box stores that have nurseries there. It's a really great time.
Yeah, definitely. You want to look at plants and trees, especially for our area. You know, native plants are going to do the best. They're going to give you that long-term success with you, because they're naturally resistant to pests and diseases in our area. They're appropriate to our growing conditions. That's why we kind of push it so much, because our spring is so unpredictable when we talk about the winds. And that's really where we see a lot of drying out of plants, a lot of stress, plants, you know, splitting in half or tearing in half over the strong winds. So really definitely look at some fall trees and shrubs that are out there as well. You know, stop by if you're driving in a neighborhood and stop and ask the neighbors and ask people what what those plants are, because there's a lot of great plants that that we can certainly use in our areas that we're not using enough of. One of my favorite is the vitex tree.
Oh, yeah, that's a great
tree. So that's a really great one. And there's a National Texas Nursery Association that has an annual conference, and this year it's in Dallas, and they had all different types of vitex, and they just thought it was like the wonderful latest and greatest thing to be able to do. And I said, we've been planting those in our area forever now, you know, but they just got so excited and talk about the different blooms. And now there's a commercial variety that's also has white flowers as opposed to the traditional purple one that we're looking at. So, you know, there's a size and shape and color for everyone. So definitely we have a lot of publications that we do put together, Extension and the West Texas Urban Forestry, a lot of easy to read planting guides on how to get your tree in the ground, what to do after you transplant it, how to water it, and then also some other ones on just where to get started, you know, looking at trees on their mature size and if they're going to be evergreens or deciduous trees. And so there's a lot of resources out there, so take advantage of this time of the year.
And even though the temperature is getting cooler, we don't really want to be thinking about pruning just yet unless you absolutely have to, because maybe there's a branch that's maybe the winds and the hail and the rain, they damaged your trees in such a way in recent weeks that perhaps you do need to remove a branch that might be a hazard.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the plants are going to do much better and not have so much shock if you let them get dormant. And for our area, our deciduous trees, that's going to happen in January. It's a great way to be able to get some outdoor exercise in the middle of the winter and take a look at the overall tree itself. And on shade trees, you know, have that nice strong leader and that open canopy so that you can make sure that you have, you know, nice angles to be able to prune your branches.
And also our Bermuda grass is, I think, starting to go dormant now. Even though we've had those really good rains, perhaps it's sort of delayed the dormancy of the grass. I'm actually seeing right now, sort of veering away from the grass topic, is the wildflower seeds that have fallen off my blue bonnets and the penstemons from last spring are already starting to come up. Yes. All that rain and the recent warm weather also that we've been having, the unseasonably warm weather has, I guess, just caused them all just to sort of pop up a little prematurely.
Right, exactly. There's a lot of penstemons in the gardens right now, and it's a good plant identification exercise.
Yeah.
For you to make sure that you don't pull them out, because those are going to be your flowers for come the spring. So penstemons are one of those great ones that kind of come back year after year, and they'll reseed themselves and just let them go, let them do their thing. We're also dependent on the wet winter weather to be able to get some nice poppies off the Franklins too.
Yes. And really quickly, as I mentioned before I got off topic again, is that our grass is starting to become a little bit dormant. So we want to make sure we adjust our watering schedules, right?
Yes. Don't have any sprinklers going off as it's getting cooler. Bermuda grass really starts to shut down once the temperature starts dipping below 85 degrees. It won't be growing as vigorous. So no more fertilizer for your Bermuda grass. Just let it start slowing down. Call it a season on your Bermuda grass.
Well, if you have any questions about fall gardening, about November gardening tips, make sure that you call the Master Gardeners at their hotline at 771-2354, 771-2354. And we have an email link to the Master Gardeners as well on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. We want to thank DJ Orozco for engineering today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.